Anglo American Platinum delivered a set of record earnings for 2019, but the news was rather overshadowed by its CEO's decision to leave the company. Chris Griffith is the CEO, outgoing CEO, and joins me now. Chris, thanks very much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks.
I suppose record earnings, unbelievable dividends. You're going, do we infer that this is the top of the market for PGM players?
No, I think there's still some room to run for the PGM business, and I think that's also why this is a great time not only for me to step down, but a new CEO to step in. I think there's still some momentum behind the business, and there's certainly a lot more room for the price and the company to grow.
I mean, do you really think so? You pulled up a slide in today's results presentation looking at the three major PGM metals, rhodium, palladium, and platinum, and it is after all rhodium and palladium that have delivered these incredible, helped deliver the earnings that you posted. But it still has that feeling of 2008 about it, when platinum hit over $2,000 an ounce and then collapsed in a heap. I mean, the price levels of these metals has been parabolic. Surely that's not sustainable.
No, so I don't think overall. So first of all, we haven't quite in real terms yet met the prices that we did see at the peak. I think there's some key things that have changed, though. The one is the pressure around climate change and the absolute necessity for PGMs to help with the solution around emissions into the market. And also, I think the aggressiveness of which thrifting took place at that time, you're much more unlikely post the VW scandal to see the same level of aggression around thrifting. So it's ultimately climate change that is going to be trying to drive emissions lower, and particularly in the auto business, and then also in key sectors of industrial. And I think that's what continues to underpin this very strong demand. But of course, nothing rises forever unchecked. And the one solution that is easily available out there, and it's called platinum.
I know, you kept talking about it. So, and so that's the substitution.
That's the substitution. And so the fact is we have the metals available, both within our basket. So we are not overly concerned if you see perhaps some price come off in rhodium, some price come off in palladium, and the price of platinum rise as you see some substitution. But that's going to still take some time to happen. And that's probably still 18 months to 2 years out. And so I think you're likely to overall see perhaps some of those metal prices to continue to rise, given that the deficits are continuing to rise.
I mean, it does have a profound effect in the numbers, though. I mean, operating cash flow, free cash flow for this period is up almost 500%. That is incredible. How sustainable is that?
Well, remember, this journey has not just, it sort of feels like this was 2019. But you look at 2017, the basket price was up by 12%. 2018, the basket price was up by 13%. 2019, the basket price in dollar terms is up by 27%. So yes, we have seen, it sort of feels that this was a massive change, but this has been a journey that's been coming for some time. And actually, that's something that we've been talking about since 2015. Of course, when there was above ground stock, it was feeding those shortages. It didn't sort of feel in reality that the market was in deficit.
Yeah.
But as those stocks were coming to an end and the ability to supply those deficits was coming to an end, then you started seeing the tightness in the market, and then you started to see price response.
Yeah. I feel sorry for whoever has to come in now at this point in the cycle, because you came into Amplats when it was really struggling. And I remember commentators at the time saying, you need someone like Mark Cudafani, you need I think that was Peter Major, actually. I mean, you came in, 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
And on that note, we were all taking bets in the office as to who would be the next Anglo-American CEO, and we had our money on you, so we're very disappointed to see that this might not be the case.
Yeah, so you may have lost that bet, but there's other bets that you can win. But look, I think I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy coming into the industry, in the platinum industry back in 2012, 13, and 14. Those were really, really tough times. And I don't look back on that fondly. I look at what we were able to achieve post that period.
Yeah.
But we needed to retrench overall over that period 20,000 people.
Yeah.
We needed to shut down mines. We needed to take a 5-month strike in the industry. And this was on the back of Marikana. So those were tough things that had to be done. And I think, I didn't do that. Our team did that. And we had very, very strong support from the board and very strong support from the major shareholder that actually we had to do what we had to do. And it sounds pretty easy, but that was tough times. So I don't think those are nice shoes to have to fill. I mean, yeah, we've come through that and sure, the company's in good shape now. But there's still lots of, we've got a new wave of strategy for the company going forward. We've still got growth in Mogalakwena. We've got potential growth in De Bruyne, and later on there's potential growth in Zimbabwe. We've got lots of work still to do in the underlying business to drive value. So I think there's still wonderful things still to be done for this company and lots of value still to be unlocked by the new CEO.
I mean, you talked about the margin expansion that Amplats wants to, I suppose, extract or to see occur, and it's 5 to 8 basis points, which doesn't sound a lot, but it is actually translates into huge amounts of money. And I think you mentioned today that you've got margin expansion of 2% on the back of your own efforts. So is it possible to create more profit to continue with the operating free cash flow, notwithstanding what happens to the metals prices? I mean, can you do it without the metals prices, or are they intrinsic to the success of a mining company like Amplats?
No, so that's exactly what we try to show. So we showed in 2018, I stood up and I said, look, because I think then already we started seeing very strong run in the share prices. And a lot of people were saying, is this as good as it gets for us? And what we were trying to say, no, there's still lots more value to come. And so I said, okay, let's strip out price and FX so that you can really measure us at the underlying business and exclude any potential growth. And I said, just from that underlying business, we will grow from a 20% margin, which is still a fantastic margin. We can grow to either 25 to 28% in 5 years. So this is a very short period of time. Had nothing to do with expansion, had nothing to do with price. So then it makes it very easy for someone else to measure us as what we're doing with the underlying business. Okay. And it takes away the noise of, the very nice noise if you've got a price increase, but it helps be able to really measure us as what the underlying business can still do. Yeah. So today we showed that already 1 year out from when I made that commitment, we're already 2% of the way there. And we still showed, and that was stripping out price and FX. And of course, when we delivered a 58% margin, it doesn't sound like, you know, okay, well, you can go from 20 to 25 or 28, but the majority of that was coming off price and FX. So I think you can measure both our underlying business performance, and you can measure what the benefit we're getting from price and FX. And then in time going forward, you'll be able to add on top of that the benefit that we'll get from growth.
Yeah. Chris, are there any measures or any things that within your tenure that you regret having done? For example, you had to sell the Rustenburg assets, and it was a terrible time to sell. Prices were depressed, but there was a very strong argument for Amplats to do so. But you could equally argue that Neil Froneman came in and bought them at exactly the right time. I mean, looking back now and seeing what's happened in the business, are there mines that you wish you hadn't sold? Are there things that you wish you had done?
So you don't always get these things right, but not one of those decisions do either I or the Exco or the board regret having done. So for example, the way we structured the deal, we said, okay, we'll sell it because we'd fixed the assets in, they were profitable. But the way we did it, we said, okay, there's some upfront amount of money, but rather than just give them away for a very low price, we participate in 35% of the uplift in all the value going forward, up to a certain amount. So I think we've sort of hedged our bets so I think it was good for a buyer in very difficult times. So I think it was absolutely a great deal for both Sibanye and ourselves, and also for Siyanda and ourselves. So yeah. It allowed us to get to sell the assets we wanted to sell. Because frankly, if you look at our portfolio, we own like a third of the world's resources in PGMs. For us to be sort of scratching around at assets at the top end of the cost curve, or assets that we won't put capital into, those are not the right assets for us to hold. It doesn't mean that those assets can't make money. And we said that in better times, we'll participate in 30% of the value of those companies. So I think we structured those deals in a really, really good way. But the fact is that we've got a portfolio of assets now that is absolutely world-class. We own the most valuable PGM mine in the world. That has got 100 years life, that will be able to be scaled, you know, in time 3, 4, 5 times. And today, what didn't get a lot of attention, because we were quite happy that it went through quite quietly, we've just added 2 big properties onto Mogalakwena and enjoined them into the mining right. So we've actually just doubled the mining strike length of Mogalakwena, an asset that already had 100 years worth of life. So these are the assets that we owned. And so we're not sorry that we've exited assets at the top end of the cost curve narrow reef, deeper level mining, more conventional. We're able to move our portfolio to much more mechanized mining, which is safer and more productive.
Yeah. Just on that note, I mean, there was a time when rights were held over mining companies' heads as a sort of a political tool. You had a big run-in with Susan Chibangu back in 2015 over the job cuts that Anglo Amplats implemented. I mean, there was a suggestion at the time that, you might have mining rights revoked or might not get further mining rights if companies don't do what the government wanted. How would you now characterize the relationship, and how much faith do you have in Gwede Mantashe as a minister, especially now that you're leaving? Because some people could say it's an indication that the politics is too bad, and one of our top CEOs has decided to get out while the going's good.
So I would hope that this is not seen as something negative. The company's in good shape, I'm in good shape, I'm looking for new opportunities. What I didn't say is that I'm fed up with South Africa and I want to run away offshore. I think if I go offshore, my wife will say I'm go alone. So, you know, we like living in South Africa. We've got lots of contributions. I believe I have a contribution still to make to South Africa. I'm not entirely sure what my next role and opportunity will be, and that will depend on the role or opportunity. But it's not about South Africa. I'm not running away. I love working, and we have challenges in SA. But I just love the contribution and the difference we can make as business people in this country.
But on the point of Gwede Mantashe, I mean, do you think it could be a more supportive environment for miners?
Yeah, absolutely. We have had, since the combination of our current mining minister, Gwede, and the president, the mining industry has seen a level of support that we never saw under the previous president and a number of mining ministers before that. So we have undoubtedly a different mining regulatory rights environment than we have had before. So much more supportive, both from the president and the mining minister. And also legislation has changed that is much more supportive.
Okay. Chris, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time and good luck with the future.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Thanks, Julieta.
Chris Griffith, CEO of Anglo American Platinum.